Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever the case may be. Thank you, as always, for checking in and listening to another episode of The Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. I am the owner, Matt Lehman. This is going to be another short one, and this one's mostly geared towards people who resell or people that need to sell some stuff off. There are lots and lots of places to sell things online these days, and I'm going to give you some tips or some seller beware information that you should really, really know. First and foremost, before you sell anything, do your research. Do your research. That's worth repeating. Because if you don't know what you have, don't sell it. And I tell everybody that comes in the door that's trying to sell me stuff, do you know what you have? Do you know what it's worth? And if they say no, I said, then don't sell it. I said, and don't trust me. I mean, I'm a trustworthy guy, but don't trust the person that's appraising your stuff to buy it from you. Because they're looking to make a deal, and if they know that you don't know what you have, I'm not saying everybody or anybody's doing this, but there are people out there that will take advantage of you. So know what you have. And for example, the best story I can tell you is I had a couple come into my shop because they had heard about me through some other people, and someone had told them that I was fair and honest, which I appreciate. They had some, quote unquote, some sterling silverware that they wanted to sell or scrap. And I said, well, there's a guy up in the high desert for me, which is about an hour from here, and he pays a little over spot. And if you can find somebody that pays a little over spot for scrap, then, or for silver, then you're doing pretty good with that. Unless it's like jewelry, I would never sell jewelry for scrap. Even if it's broken, I sell it for weight and scrap, maybe, but usually not. But so they had a bunch of flatware and serviceware, like tea sets and stuff like that. And he said they had a little bit. And I said, all right, well, you can bring it in. I'll take a look at it. Sometimes I buy that because I like to melt it down and just hoard it. And so they came in 2 days later. And he had somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000 worth of scrap silver. And that was just in weight alone. And it was all teapots and plates and dishes and some silverware. And I told him, I was like, look, I don't have an extra $3,000. Plus, I don't really want to invest $3,000 in scrap. I thought you had a couple pieces, maybe a couple $100. I said, but have you done the research on this stuff? And he's like, no, that's why we're kind of bringing it to you to see what to do. And I said, well, you can take it up to the high desert. I said, but there's three bowls in here that I've never seen before. I can't figure out what they are or who the maker is. There's a maker on the bottom, but I'm not familiar with it. The rest of it was all just American sterling, and unfortunately, most of that doesn't have much resale value other than scrap. I know people are going to beat me up on that, but really it doesn't. But I said, so these three bowls, I said, let me hold on to these. I said, let me do you a favor. I said, let me put them on eBay for you, because they didn't do anything on eBay. Let me see what happens, and we'll go from there. I said, I'll put them at scrap value, and so that way if they sell, you at least get your scrap value out of them, and no harm, no foul. But I said, I think there's something a little more to them. They said, okay. So I cleaned them up a little bit and put them on eBay, and I listed them at scrap, and scrap was somewhere in the neighborhood of $350. And $350, it hit immediately. I listed it, and within 10 minutes, the first bid was $350. I was like, nice. So usually when you start getting bids right away, you're like, this is going to be a pretty popular item. And they did not do anything else until 7 days later, till the very end. The last 21 seconds of the auction, it went from $350 all the way up to $21,000 for three sterling silver bowls. So the guy who bought them contacted me, and I said, what the hell is going on? He's like, I suspect you don't know what you have and are pretty shocked at the price. And I said, yeah, a little bit. He said they were three Saarinen bowls. And Saarinen was apparently a very well-known architect, not by me, but by other people, in the, I think, turn of the century, 30s, 40s, 50s maybe. And he did do some silverware, and the guy that bought him was out of Atlanta, and he said that he's been collecting and selling sterling silver his entire life, and he'd only ever seen one of the bowls I had, and the other two he'd never seen before, and he didn't know that they existed. So the owner that I sold them for was extremely happy that I got him $21,000. I shipped them next day FedEx, which was like $500 or something stupid, and the guy paid for it. He was very happy. So had they not known what they had, they would have taken that to scrap and sold them for $350. So I highly, highly recommend, if you don't know what you have, hold on to it till you can find someone that does know what you have. There are many places to sell your stuff. There are obviously plenty of online sites like Craigslist, Letgo, OfferUp, Mercari, eBay. And with all of those come certain problems. And I just want to talk about some of the issues that you might find with Craigslist and eBay. Number one, on eBay, eBay's pretty tight, although they're pushing out, PayPal is getting pushed out because it was a monopoly and they made them break it up. So eBay is coming up with a new payment system where you just pay with your Visa. That's too early for me to get into and know what that means. I'm not a big fan of it. I really like PayPal because PayPal will cover you and you don't have to worry about anything like that. So with eBay, the only thing I would say is don't take any other payments. Like, never, ever, ever, in any situation, take a wire transfer. Do not wire transfer anything anywhere. It is so archaic and it's such a scam now that the only reason people use it is for scams, and I'll get into that a little bit more. So with eBay, I think you're all right. You have to watch out for scams, and maybe I'll talk about that at another time, and because eBay tends to lean more towards buyer's favor than sellers. So if you're selling, your buyers have a lot more leeway and will scam you and get away with it. With the other ones, most of these scams that come up on Craigslist, they will occasionally come up on Letgo, OfferUp, and Mercari. I haven't seen it on Mercari or OfferUp, but I have seen one on Letgo. The big scams are, number one, the phone password. So you list something and almost immediately you put your phone number on it so that they can contact you, and almost immediately you'll get someone that says, "Hey, I want to buy your item, but I don't know if you're real, so I need you to send me a Google password." What they're trying to do is get you to send them a password for your phone. And I'll try to explain this. So if you set up a Craigslist account, they verify your account by sending you a password with your phone number, okay? And then once you give them that password back in, you now have a Craigslist account. Well, what these scam artists are doing is they're, once they see your ad, they have your phone number, and they, once you respond, they immediately put that phone number into their password account, like they're trying to set up a Craigslist account with your number. Craigslist sends them a passcode, but that passcode goes to your phone because that's the number they gave them. Now they're hoping that you will transfer that passcode and think that it's a Google passcode, and to prove that you're quote unquote a real person. If you do that, they open up a fake Craigslist account under your name. It doesn't really cost you anything or do anything to you other than that your email address, not necessarily your email address, but your phone number will be attached to a scam Craigslist account, and Craigslist will eventually shut it down, and then you'll have to go through them again with a different phone number kind of thing. So it's mostly just a scam for them to get an account, a free account, so that they can do fraudulent things. The email scam, this is basically, they say, they want to confirm that the item is still available by sending a message to their eBay account, or to their email account. This is just a generic scam. Most of those emails or those text messages are created by spam bots or bots, and they go out to millions and millions of people every hour or day or whatever it is. All they're trying to do is get you to respond to their email, because if you respond to their email, they now have your email address, and then they just pawn that off or sell that to the highest bidder for people that are looking to send you spam through your email. So now they have another email address. So don't reply to those at all. The other one, this is the fun one. This is the best one on Craigslist. This is the check scam, because you can have so much fun with these guys. These are usually real people, and it almost always takes place with a large piece of furniture or something that has a large dollar amount, like a car or a leather couch or some piece of furniture, sometimes houses. The check scam is usually reserved for furniture, but sometimes they'll do it for smaller things. And basically what they say is, "I'm interested in your item. I will send you a money order, and then I'll have my movers come and pick it up, and then you'll have to pay them." Sometimes they'll tell you in advance that you'll have to pay the movers, and sometimes they'll just say, "Oh, I forgot that you have to pay the movers, so I sent an extra $1,000 on that money order." So just cash the money order, and when the money order goes through, then you pay the movers, and they always want you to pay the movers with a cash advance or a MoneyGram. Or wire transfer. That's how they get you, is the money transfer, wire gram, wire whatever it is. So you go and you give them, you send this money to their quote unquote movers. Well, the movers don't really exist. It's them. And once they get that money, they cancel the money order that you had earlier. And actually, they don't cancel because it's a fake money order. It just takes 2 days, 2 or 3 days for the bank to process it and realize it's a fake check. Once that clears, you lose the money out of the bank that they were supposed to give you, plus you lose the $1,000. So all in all, you're about $1,000 in whole, plus the bank will hit you with fees for processing bad checks. It's fun to play with them. I have had them send me checks to, because usually they're foreigners. They don't understand English, and they all, for the most part, have a set a set script that they read from. And I don't know if they just transfer it around, if there's some underground scam artist kit that you get. Always look for broken English. If it doesn't make sense, it probably isn't sent. It isn't right. You can usually feel them out by asking them questions. And if they don't answer your questions and just continue with what looks like a script, it's a scam. But I have had them send me checks to Jack Sparrow. I've had them send me checks to Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, anybody and everybody I've wanted to. And you can ask them fun questions and they have no idea what they're doing. And if you want to see some of the scams that I have pulled on scammers, check out my Instagram, which is finders_thrift. Whenever I get a new one on Craigslist, I always post the text messages between the two, and they seem to be quite a hit. So I would check those out for sure. It's a lot of fun. Once again, finders_thrift. The other one that I wanted to touch on quickly is cars and houses or renting houses. There's a lot of scams where you rent a house for a week, and then when you get there, nobody is actually there, and you've sent a check because they just pulled, what they did is they took a listing that was already on Craigslist, copied it, started using it, and tried to get people to rent their house and get their security deposit down. So the best thing I can tell you there is, same as before, don't ever send a wire transfer or a money transfer. There is no paper trail for that. It's just like cash. Once the money's gone, it is gone. You will never, ever, ever see it again. Do not wire transfer. And you can always, you can catch them because you can say, oh, I can PayPal you money, and they never want you to PayPal money, or I can send you a cashier's check. Actually, cashier's check's the same thing. It's just like cash. You could probably do a personal check, but usually I just stick to the PayPal or Venmo or anything like that. That's your telltale sign if they're a scammer. If they say no, then they'll move on. But those are the scams. Watch out for them. Happy hunting, good hunting. And remember, you can find out more information about us and things we do on findersthrift.com or the Instagram finders_thrift and finders_vinyl. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.